I'll call the February 3rd Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandria.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderwoman Mayer.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was item A. Item B1, citizens' comment period. Is there a citizen wishing to speak on any item at all? Anyone wishing to speak? Seeing none, I will close the citizen comment period. Item B2, mayoral announcements. Just a reminder that the ICC meeting is being held in the police, in the courtroom, February 9th at 1 o'clock. Not a lot on the agenda, but you're all welcome to attend. It's always interesting at the end of the ICC meeting to listen, see what's going on in the other communities. Item 2B, a reminder, tomorrow night is the chamber dinner. I don't know who else is going, but...
What time? 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock to 6:30 is reception for the Franklin High School Jazz Band. Whatever time you'd like, sir. 6:30 dinner and 7:15 speaker. Business of the Year Awards at 8 o'clock, which we all have to hang around for. And then we're out of there. So there you go. Item 2C, mayoral proclamation designating May 2nd as Arbor Day. It's in your packet. There are in your packet item C, approval of minutes. Any additions or corrections?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. No hearings, no organizational business. Item F, letters and petitions. It's a letter regarding 27th Street, and I'm hoping for improved communications. The fire chief is here. Chief, would you come up and do your letters of commendation? And I sure wish the firefighters were here, but...
They're out doing their job.
They're out on an accident, right? We had our Department Awards dinner last week. We honored one retiree. We had some years of service awards. We also wanted to recognize guys that kind of went above and beyond what we expect, which is already a very high level of expectation. Some departments give letters of recognition. Some departments give those for stuff that our guys do every day and we expect them to do every day, and they do it even without that expectation because it's the right thing to do and they're the kind of people who, that's just the kind of people they are. In this situation, we did have some guys that went up and above and beyond. We reserve commendations for situations where guys actually put their own lives at risk in service of others. This first award is for that type of situation. I'll just read it as it was presented to the crew. This letter of commendation is presented to Lieutenant Anthony Pachalius and firefighter paramedics Richard Carlson, Robert Coots, and Sean Behrens on this date for their heroic actions on October 24th, 2014. On that day, the above crew responded to a 911 call from a very upset woman who stated that she had just come home and found her son not breathing and in need of, immediate help. Lieutenant Anthony Pachalius and firefighter paramedic Robert Coots responded in Ambulance 1, along with firefighter paramedic Richard Carlson and firefighter paramedic Sean Behrens in Med 11. While en route, dispatch advised that the caller stated that her carbon monoxide detector was alarming. Battalion Chief Kurt Stuck also responded at that time in order to assist with medical treatment and investigate the CO threat. When personnel arrived on scene, the mother of the patient was yelling, "He's not breathing," and pointed them toward the garage. The overhead door was closed and the garage was completely engulfed in exhaust smoke and fumes. Lieutenant Pachalias entered the garage in an attempt to open the overhead door. Firefighters Carlson, Coots, and Behrens also entered the garage with their medical gear, causing the CO detector on their kit to immediately alarm. That indicates dangerously high levels of CO. Unable to open the overhead door and knowing that they were in a very dangerous situation, the crew decided to rapidly extricate the victim from the garage to the driveway. Once out of the garage, the crew quickly transitioned to medical mode and began treating the patient. Shortly thereafter, Battalion Chief Kurt Stick arrived and found extremely hazardous levels of CO with readings of over 2,000 parts per million. Although, unfortunately, the patient did not survive, the crew knowingly risked their lives in an extremely hazardous environment. They knew that there was a patient inside the garage and that his only chance for survival depended on their immediate actions. There was no time to wait for the proper equipment or to ventilate the garage, so they all put their lives at risk in entering the garage to make the rescue. The above personnel are commended for their heroic actions on October 24th, 2014. We also have a letter of recognition. Recognition we give for guys who go above and beyond, maybe don't quite put their own lives at direct risk, but certainly make an effort to save other people's lives and property that goes above and beyond. This letter of recognition is presented to firefighter paramedics Thomas Henziak, Richard Carlson, Dustin Lofi, and Sean Behrens on this date for their exemplary actions on December 1st, 2014. On that day, the Franklin Fire Department was dispatched to back-to-back fire alarms within a period of just over 5 minutes. As crews were responding to investigate those incidents, a third alarm was received with the caller reporting thick smoke coming from a multifamily apartment complex. Engine 1 and Truck 2 were immediately diverted by the officer in charge to respond to the third fire call. During the response, a column of smoke could be seen from miles away, and the incident was upgraded to a working still alarm. Engine 1, staffed with firefighter paramedic Thomas Henziak, firefighter paramedic Richard Carlson, firefighter paramedic Dustin Lofi, and firefighter paramedic Sean Behrens, arrived first to finding heavy fire and smoke showing from an upstairs apartment of an 18-unit, non-sprinklered apartment building. Without a sworn company officer assigned, and with other units still clearing and responding from previous calls, Engine 1 operated completely on their own for the first several minutes of the incident. Firefighter paramedic Thomas Henziak, acting in the company officer role, performed a size-up and gave a textbook first-in report. Knowing that they had only seconds until the fire engulfed the entire attic space, the crew of Engine 1 pulled their blitz line and set up for a rapid and aggressive transitional fire attack. Within minutes, and largely prior to the other companies arriving on scene, firefighters Henziak, Carlson, Lofi, and Behrens had the large volume of fire knocked down. Franklin Fire Department personnel routinely train on aggressive fire attack tactics. In this incident, however, the volume of fire and the rapidity with which Engine 1's crew attacked and extinguished it was remarkable. Their actions were well coordinated, flawlessly executed, and ultimately saved priceless belongings and millions of dollars worth of property from destruction. The majority of the building's residents were able to return to their apartments the following day. The Franklin Fire Department recognizes the above personnel for their exemplary actions on December 1st, 2014.
Thank you, Chief. I'd like to sit here and offer some great wise wisdom and words of congratulations, but you know, the men, they do such a great job, it's hard to expound on what you just did. Chief Mayor.
When you're done.
I'm thinking of some other way perhaps we can recognize them on the council level at some point. So, Chief Mayor.
Nice. I just can't let the moment go. Anybody who's seen TV today or been on the internet has seen the article of one of our neighboring fire departments shoveling the snow on a driveway. And the media was there and making it a big issue. Well, that happens every day in every fire department. Franklin shovels out snow. How many times has it happened in the last couple of days? It happens because it's the right thing to do, and it's not that we make a big deal out of it. It just is done, but another community is making a big deal out of it, where these are the real things that are above and beyond. So Congratulations.
Our crews responded yesterday for a patient in cardiac arrest, which unfortunately didn't survive. But family was coming, family and friends and relatives from all over the area, and our crews shoveled their path, shoveled their driveway, shoveled their porch so incoming family members could be with their family. So they do it because it's the right thing to do, and they don't want to be recognized for it. They don't need to be recognized for it. I think they do. They don't think they do. So.
Well, I constantly say it. Our sworn services, our protective services, are the best. And I know, Chief, we sometimes use those words too often, but I really believe it. You've had a busy couple of weeks, too.
Yep.
We've had some garage fires. Fortunately, because of our firefighters' proximity and their training, they've knocked down some of these fires pretty darn quickly. And Chief?
I just want to say our firefighters do an excellent job on aggressively attacking every fire. The only thing that's really set this one, it was on Cortez Circle, and if any of you are familiar with those apartments, it's an 18-unit apartment. It's non-sprinklered. It's older construction, and there's open hallways that run the length of the building, so that fire could have easily taken off much more than it did. So,
is there a motion of congratulations?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Mark it unanimous, please. Alderwoman Evans. Sorry.
That's okay. I just wanted to say that we as a community need to be reminded of these risks that you take and the police department that you take. And I really appreciate you sharing it with us, so thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Chief. Anyone else? No? Okay. Okay, item G1, consent agenda. Except, is there any motion for separate action? Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Request for capital improvement funds for emergency vehicle preemption project.
This so moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. This let's not gloss over this too much. This is a big deal. It's going to improve our response time. And by the way, there's already 3 ambulances with this equipment on it already. Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
Thanks, Captain. Thanks, Chief.
And not only response time is improved, but overall safety is improved.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is one of those things that's been put off for many, many years. And I wasn't standing for it. So anyway, okay. Item 3, resolution authorizing certain officials to accept a conservation easement for and as part of the review and approval of a certified survey map of the property located at 12321 West Rawson Avenue, Alfred Block owner. Joel? Unless there's action. Questions?
I'll move to approve.
Second.
Thank you. Mr. City Attorney.
Approve what? Staff has alternate recommendations that compete with the property owner's representative in the packet. And in the short version is that staff's recommendations are close to what the city normal form is, except it also includes a provision for the city to manage, that's the language, the area. And staff had no problem with any of those changes. The property owner is also suggesting an alternative, which would allow for the creation of, off the top of my head, I think no wider than 48 inches wide trail, pedestrian trail to walk through there, and permission to allow for a four-wheel vehicle to help maintain the property. And it's all written in the form of pro-nature conservation and improvement, and also speaks in terms of the historic, and I'm not a naturalist, so I don't have all the terms of art, but this previously being the oak tree forest in the world, and now this is one of the few, very few remnants left. This would allow for pathways through there and the like. And so staff suggested to the Common Council that the Common Council decide with PATH or without PATH, is what it came down to.
Joe, Mr. Deacon.
And I would just add, and with detailed mapping of the natural resources or without. Right now, the mapping is based on best available information. Staff would be asking for field-verified delineations, and those delineations be put on the CSM as well. So those would be the differences. The applicant would prefer not to have to do that. If I understand correctly, the applicant is here if you have any questions. The applicant would reluctantly be okay to map the wetlands later on in the process, would not be so interested in mapping the trail locations.
So how do we, the council action requested, what additions do we need to add to that then?
So we're suggesting that a condition be added to the resolution or to the motion, just directing the applicant to do a detailed field delineation of the wetlands, the buffers, and then the trail location.
And you need to confirm the suggestions on 35, 36. Mr. Dito, is the city going to take ownership, or is this going to remain in the Black family?
It's going to they're splitting it up into two pieces, transferring it to adjacent property owners, who they would primarily manage it. They want to manage it in an aggressive fashion and utilizing whatever assistance they can receive from anyone. So some of the changes they're asking in here is to reflect that more aggressive management, the ability to remove invasive species in addition to the trails. So staff didn't have any concerns with those. Removing dead and diseased is typical, but removing invasive species is not typical in our standard template. But we didn't have objections with that. It was just the active, relatively aggressive maintenance of the trails without knowing the exact location of the wetlands or the trails.
You can tell Alderwoman Mayer is a mother because she put her hand up and I let her know and she wasn't looking at me, but she saw me. Alderwoman Mayer.
Eyes in the back of my head. I guess I do have a question regarding option A and B. Allowing them to either do management with option A or B. And for me, option A doesn't seem to be hands-on at all. It doesn't seem to be doing managing at all anything. So I just wonder about, and I don't know if this is something that we can do now or if this is something that we need to consider for future conservation easements, but to me, a conservation easement, especially regarding something as special as this oak forest, to me would require true management, not just letting it go and possibly, you know, degrading into something that's not what I feel it should be, or maybe what the council feels it should be, or even what the Alfred Block thinks that should be. So I guess I have questions regarding that. As far as the trail, I don't know if now is necessarily the time to actually plot that on there on the certified survey map, but I'm not exactly sure when that could be done or if that's something you could put in there to, you know, by this date or something like that to have that put in. Because you can't do it now. You don't know where you're really putting anything.
Mr. Deal.
In regards to the active management, I think the applicant's intent is to allow the flexibility to do either or, whatever the possibilities that may arise in the future would facilitate whichever one works better for those new property owners. So I think that's how it's written, option A or option B, whichever happens would be both allowed. And from our standpoint, the staff's standpoint, the applicant's not proposing to build on these. So we don't believe they're required to do any active management. The choice would be theirs if they wish to. If they want to have assistance from the city, we will do what we can. But because they're not requiring to cut, they're not requesting to cut down any trees or build anything there, we're not requiring them to do any management. It's their choice.
Could we have David come up and kind of...
And then in regards to the mapping of the trail, the The wetlands would be most important because those should be shown on the CSM, and the applicant would like to record the CSM quickly. So that's the reason why the applicant would prefer to do the wetland delineation later. He wants to record the CSM now. But we're saying that information is important to put on the CSM because future owners, after the ones that would pick this up, will have a harder time understanding what's out there. They'll more likely get a copy of the CSM rather than some separate attachment somewhere else. I've seen that happen numerous times in both this job and the other job. It's easy to miss the new owners to look at CSMs, let alone some other unique document that's not very common. But he has issues that he wants to get this recorded right away. To get that wetland delineation would probably not be possible until spring. And then the trail location, it would be, I believe there'd be more, if the council's open to it, more flexibility to get the trail location later. But I believe the wetland delineation would be important to put on the CSM.
Go ahead.
Name and address, please, for the record.
Yeah. My name is David Block, 211 North Hartwell Avenue, Waukesha, Wisconsin. But I grew up at 7211 South Shrine Drive. My dad is the owner of the property that is now we're seeking to divide and sell to adjacent owners who really desire to act as stewards to sort of further the management or the oversight of the property that my mom and dad had. In the survey document, the two outlots that are being delineated, roughly 94%, as I measured it, 94% of the smaller outlot is out of a wetland or a wetland buffer area, so any kind of trail put in that the smaller outlot, there's not a whole lot of concern there. In the larger outlot, in the northern section, only about 45% of that outlot would be out of the wetland, the 30-foot wetland buffer. And so what our family was wanting to do, because this process is drawn out a lot, is wait till the property is sold, delineate the wetland, flag it out, and assist the property owner, the new property owner, in laying out a management trail, an access trail, in the 45% of the property that the trail could be put, basically in the mature woodland area. And so my only concern in working with Nick, primarily since we last came to the Common Council in December, was we were frustrated with needing to wait any longer to either delineate the wetland or to put a trail on the survey map, thinking that the new owners would want to have some bearing on where that would go. But our family would gladly see that the wetland is delineated before a trail that is flagged out, and we could bring the proper city officials out to see that it's put in the right place. Both of the prospective purchasers, and one has gotten cold feet because it's winter, but they're both retirees, and they look at this piece of property, and the two options, one is just leave it alone, the other is do some management to the property, which would encourage, I think, this old forest to move toward its desired climax condition. But both of those options are laid out by the Natural Nature Center because a future owner may wish to do what my mom and dad did and just leave it alone. But there are some ways to improve the quality of that woodland as well. That's why the two options.
Did your mom and dad ever actively try to preserve it or conserve it?
Mostly there's some. There was a trail system that we put in there. Mostly we were trying to handle the invasives that were becoming more and more problematic.
Okay.
It's a beautiful, beautiful woods. I'm enjoying to see maintained in its existence to this day.
Yeah, for now, yeah.
Alderman Schmidt.
I basically was going to invite Mr. Black in to answer
questions. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, having written conservation easements, I do have a couple suggestions. And as far as the CSM, typically you've all heard me up here saying how much I want to see wetlands on a CSM. That's part of how our ordinance was written, and I like that idea. However, this is not a development, and I think that having the proper design and knowing where the spring and ephemerals are, and we talked about this a little bit last night with the other project, that it's important for them to determine where these trails would go. So I wouldn't think that being able to put that on the map right now would make sense unless you have those delineations done. So I would suggest that instead of waiting for the delineation or trying to put the trail on the map, that the language that is on page 32 be placed upon the CSM. And it starts off with the very last paragraph in the conclusion right above the council action request where it says it should be noted that. You could get rid of those words and just say prior to any trail maintenance or placement of any structures, city staff must be contacted and provide information for review. And then you could also include the next sentence as well. But the fact, and also add that these are wetlands, you have it per surface, but you should say something about that they need to be delineated. So you could just put a note like that right on the CSM, and then when they did get the CSM, they would know that. The property owners would then be well aware of that, and also any future property owners. One thing I had for the city attorney was the language in the easement. As you read into it, you do determine that this is going to be applied to the CSM and held by all future property owners. But typically, I've seen in the first paragraph on the second line, right after "and Alfred Block here and after," referred to as the grantor, it would say "and Alfred Block and successors," so it's clear up front, so no one says, well, this isn't just for Alfred Block, or it is just for Alfred, there's no disagreement on that. So I would ask the city attorney to insert some kind of language up front so people know it passes with that.
Mr. City Attorney.
That's the first sentence in the last paragraph. Covenants, terms, conditions, etc. set forth in this grant shall be binding upon the grantor and the grantee and their respective agents, personal reps, heirs, successors.
Yes, I did note that it was down there early or later on after you read it, but I thought just "and successors" up in front would make it very clear and you wouldn't have to wait and read the entire document before you found that. I have a little bit of concern, not so much about putting a trail in, because if you put the language on the map, that's fine. But and I'm not concerned about the immediate stewards and the immediate people that want it, but more in the long-term future. The additional language that's in bold and underlined works well for the current immediate stewards, but it might not be such a great idea to have in a long term if this gets passed on to other people. And one of the things that we talked about on the phone was the all-terrain vehicle language should be written in such a way that it's very clear that it's just to be used for managing the natural area, because the next thing you know, you're going to have a property owner who has less intent for preservation but more intent of having their kids ride an all-terrain vehicle around, and I can tell you that is a nightmare that is not to be dealt with as an older person. So I would suggest some language that might tweak that just a little bit. And other than that, I guess I can live with the rest of the insertions. And I would approve it with those changes. I think we already have a motion and a second, but those were my suggestions.
All right, Alderman Mayor, is your motion, Mr. City Attorney?
I have one more.
Okay.
With regard to paragraph one under grantee's rights, grantee is the city of Flagler, where it does include "and to manage the property," my thought was following the phrase "and to manage the property as allowed under this agreement and outlined in Exhibit B, Option A and B, comma, any such management to only occur following the adoption of a resolution to do so by the Franklin County Council."
I like it.
Then, with regard to what Alderman Wilhelm said at the beginning, with regard to the condition, I would simply add a condition to the resolution that note to the CSM that states future trail installation shall be subject to prior submission of detailed verified wetland delineations to the Franklin Department of City Development and approval by the department. That's just a note on the CSM, and that note also be included as a condition in the resolution.
Is that your motion, Alderman Mayor?
Does that meet with Mr. Black's desires?
Just a point of clarification, and the delineation, so if we went out and delineated the wetlands late in the spring with new owners, what you're mentioning is that we bring somebody out to verify the delineation, or are you asking that we redo the survey map?
Oh, a separate map is what I believe.
It's a separate map.
A map, but a separate
map.
Not redo the CSM because that's already recorded, but you provide verified delineation. Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission does wetland delineations. Those are verified by them. Submission of that to the Department of City Development and their approval prior to any commencement of trail installations would be the process. Oh, and finally, with regard to Alderman Wilhelm's comment on the paragraph 6 under grantors, rights and obligations. With regard to the motorized vehicles, I didn't think the last sentence there, which spoke to the use of motorized vehicles, shall be limited to the designated pathway. I agree that it should be clearly spelled out that shall only be used for maintenance purposes and remain on the pathway, but I'd also delete that phrase about established beyond any wetland or 30-foot buffer area, because we can clarify that. I think it's just a little confusing.
Is that the nature of your motion, Alderman Mayor?
You know what? I'll withdraw my motion. Let someone else make the motion.
I will make that motion.
Alderman Schmidt, do you as well?
I'll withdraw my second of this motion.
Alderwoman Mayor has made the motion as outlined by the city attorney. Is there a second to that?
I'll second.
Any discussion of the motion? Seeing none but quizzical faces. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Go forth and divide.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Say hi to your dad for us.
I will.
Excellent. Item G4, resolution authorizing the execution of agreement designating Taylor's Ford as dissemination agent for issuers of continuing disclosure requirements. Alderman Wilhelm.
I have a concern about the auto renewal and would like to insert.
There's nothing to insert yet. Let's get a motion first. Do it properly.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Okay, Alderman Wilhelm.
Page 47, when it talks about the letter, and I'm not sure, I guess it would be the third paragraph starting with "this letter shall be effective," and then the date. "This letter shall renew automatically on each anniversary of the effective date of this letter, each an additional term." And so I would like to insert somewhere that it would at least every 2 years come before the council 70 days before its renewal. So, you know, if we'd have an opportunity, because what will happen if that's not in there is we all go away and then no one knows this exists.
I don't think there's an issue. We just got to get the language now.
Okay.
Did you propose some language?
The language I said was that I guess it would have to be some letter would be sent to the city. I don't know if the city staff would do it or if Ellers would do it, basically 70 days before the expiration, so the council would have knowledge that it was about to be renewed.
Well, we need 60 days prior written notice.
Right, so if it comes to us 70 days, then you have, you know, time, not enough time. You want 20 days? You want...
Mr. State Attorney.
Well, 10 days, there are 10 days between regular common council meetings, so it could fall right in between meetings. 80 days minimum. 90. I would say 90 days. Reasonable. Director of Finance and Treasurer is nodding his head yes.
Mr. Esper.
I would remind the council that the very next sentence does permit the city to terminate this agreement on 60-day notice to the parties. So if the city decided at some point it didn't want to continue the agreement, it would be able to cancel it in 60 days.
But they have to know about it first, and if you go away, we're all changed, you got this contract, no one knows. I want that Ellers has an agreement that they would have to send us a letter saying it's been 2 years and you have this option. Somehow there has to be some accountability that we, the council, will know that this exists.
Mr. Rosberg.
Mayor, I understand the alderman's concern. The greater concern that I would remind the council here is that if I go away, as the alderman suggested, or my successor goes away, that some action is not taken on behalf of the city to provide notice to the marketplace of financial requirements and others, and that bears significant obligations and potential damage to the city. By having this agreement in place, we have a third party who's going to monitor the city's compliance with those Securities and Exchange Commission requirements, which permit the city to have most advantageous access to the debt marketplaces, which permit the city to undertake actions and projects which it so desires and its needs to meet the citizens' requirements. So the danger here to the city is not that this agreement might exist for an additional year and would bear a $1,400 cost or higher cost in the year 2020 and beyond, but rather that actions are not taken that should be taken, which then damage the city's position in the debt marketplaces.
Well, my insertion wouldn't cause that damage to happen. It would just I'm only asking that the council be notified that it's up for automatic renewal every 2 years, that they know about it. So they might want to, you know, cancel and go on someone else, but they wouldn't have an opportunity if they don't know about it.
All right, let me offer a suggestion. As the maker of the motion, just add the language that staff shall notify the common council of the renewal.
Yes, that's fair.
Works for me.
Alderwoman Evans had a second.
Yes.
Mr. Rosberg.
Mr. Mayor, just by way of clarification, is the addition to the motion on this the biennial anniversary of the agreement?
That's my intention. Is that the intention of the maker of the motion?
Yes.
And the second?
Yes.
Any other discussion? Mr. City Attorney.
Staff means Department of Finance and Treasurer?
Correct. For clarity purposes, yes. The person who controls it. Okay, any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. By the way, that item is an important item, and I thank Paul and Mark for soliciting that that contract. It's a big deal. Item G5, resolution amending resolution 2013-6920, granting limited specific authority for disbursement in advance of review of voucher listings. I'll start this one. There was a limited list of vendors with which we could take discounts. My opinion is the taxpayers deserve to get every discount we can take. So that's what this allows us to do.
I'll move to approve.
And I'll second.
Discussion? Alderman Wilhelm.
Could we have Finance talk to us a little bit about the how this list would come to us and the timing of the list? Because I just have a little bit of concern about this sort of open door policy. I personally know what people I have to pay my bills to, and I would think that we've done this in the past with written lists, but I think he might have some valid reasons that I just want to be reaffirmed of that.
Mr. Otsberg.
Mr. Mayor, I want to thank the Alderman for contacting me earlier on this point so that I would be prepared to address the question. I prepared for the Common Council this evening a memo which identifies not only the existing approved vendors under the 2013 resolution that's before you, but also the addition of six additional vendors, and they are highlighted on this memo so that the council would know who the approved vendors are. This memo would then be provided to the Common Council with a copy filed in the clerk's office for public inspection, should the public be interested in that. And the council would have an opportunity then to object to any of those additions or changes. Since this resolution was adopted some months ago, six new vendors have come to the city, or come to the attention of the finance department, that would offer the city cash discounts or penalties for late payment, and we are unable under the existing arrangements to make those payments or take advantage of those discounts. Without coming to the Common Council and getting an amendment to the resolution, which is what we're here for this evening, staff suggested in this resolution a broader definition of what would be the eligible vendor, so that as those vendors are identified, we notify the council of who they are. Council has the opportunity to object to it, and if no objection is raised, then those vendors would become available to us to take advantage of those resolutions. So if I might, Mr. Mayor, I can provide this memo to you.
For the council's benefit, this language is far more limiting than I wanted. I asked Paul to do the resolution put before the Finance Committee that if a discount was offered, we'd take it, regardless of whether or not they're on the list or not. And the reason I did that was twofold. One was because it's taxpayer money that we need to save. And the second reason is our history of questioning invoices is pretty limited, except for maybe me. So it's a matter of trust. It's a matter of being smart about our money. So I would prefer not to have a list, but if you want a list, here it is. Better than nothing. It's better than what we had. Nothing is better than this. Alderman Mayor.
And this is almost a living document, too. It would change. And each time you're writing checks, something similar to this would come before us just to inform us of the changes? Or
this list, as you characterize, Alderman, would be a living document in that it would change probably once a year. It might not change too much more often than that, but it could change annually.
The way it's written, though, it is set up so that it can be as flexible as the mayor is suggesting. So that if a change comes up, if a new vendor comes in that can get picked up for, Paul would simply need to rewrite this memo, distribute it into your mailboxes, so it doesn't need to come on a agenda item before the Common Council. Because we added the provide a copy to the clerk for public inspection. So we have a formal stamp. Here's when the effective date. So if anybody wants to go through and track it. Now, as Paul's indicated, we don't necessarily want to be adding new ones every week, every other week. So it probably would not happen a lot. But as opportunities come, this does have the flexibilities the mayor is looking for. But we've added that public oversight and required confirmation by the Common Council. You got the memo and didn't like it. We could immediately bring it back here and be told, no, don't include those for whatever reason might occur. So that's why we've added the flexibility of just providing you a notice in the box, but the oversight of ensuring that the documentation is timestamped public record in the clerk's office.
Alderman Mayor, then Alderwoman Wilhelm, then Alderman Dandridge.
And I think my recollection from the Finance Committee was that if something would happen like this, when we get the blue sheets and the purple sheets, then something would come to us also indicating that there were certain checks that were written, you know, or sent out before actual approval.
Actually, Alderman, this evening's council packet, there is a third voucher list that's there.
Right. Okay.
And that third list is labeled early release. Those are, in fact, the vouchers which have been released to the two vendors in anticipation of this meeting per the existing standing resolution that's in place.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Let me interject here. What may not be clear is the procedure that goes through for each invoice. And once it goes through the department level, gets approved, gets finance, and they look at it, then it's sent to me. The department head has approved it on the computer. I have to look at it and approve it. And then it goes back for payment. Then the check gets cut, and then I got to sign the check again. So there's multiple checks and balances that happen here, and everybody's keeping track of it. And I understand your desire to know what this is, and that's all great. I just want to let you know that there's lots of checks and balances. So who was next? Alderman Willem.
All I have to say is this helps a lot and addresses my concerns.
Great. Alderman Dandrea.
I'm going to confirm what Ms. Mayor did say. That is correct. We will have an itemization of checks that were released prior to our approval, as well as we were cognizant of the desires of trying to take advantage of any discounts or avoid any fees, and that's why we did not put additional limitations on it. But we wanted also to make sure that disclosure was evident and that we were disclosing to the common council as well as to the public, whoever was interested. And I did notice that it's kind of vague if we look at the amended resolution on the G5 page when it says amending the list from time to time. But then on page 57, first paragraph 2, it says the finance director shall provide a list of vendors meeting the definition in F1 above, updating the common council as the list changes and placing a copy of said list on the file. We did refine that to make sure that we did get an updated list, at least on an annual basis. So we felt that that was a good remedy, and it was providing us disclosure to the common council.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any other discussion? Happily seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G7, Committee of the Whole. We, Francis.
Jesus.
I'm just anxious. G6, resolution to amend the City of Franklin defined contribution retirement plan to amend section 5.06, loans to participants, to allow for one loan at a time.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Now, the G7. Wheaton Franciscan was a presentation. No action needed.
Question.
Oh,
are they doing that? When are they doing this walking trail, and when will we see the layout of where it's going?
I have no answer to that.
But they will come in with a plan at some point to the plan committee?
Mr. Deal.
Just say yes is fine. I don't need
yes, we will come in with a plan.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Concept review for proposed bowling alley is taken care of. FAPSU, there was some discussion about authorizations and attendance at meetings, but it's not properly noticed, so we'll deal with that in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I'm going to decline.
That's fine. We talked about that. And then item D, discussion for the comprehensive outreach.
Mayor, just make sure that you're aware that I am available to be an advisor for what they would like for purposes. I'm more than okay with that.
I was just interested in showing the formal support. That's
okay.
Whatever. I'm not hung up on it.
All right.
Item D. Why is it safe? Oh, it's staying in your computer. There was discussion of the comprehensive master plan. I have suggested motion, so get ready. Is there a motion to direct?
I'm sorry. I mean, yesterday's discussion, rethinking about what went on with that. I'm kind of confused as to, I don't know if I feel as though a full presentation was given regarding all three of the different options, A, B, and C, for the SIC codes, the pros and cons of each one of those. I feel as though Alderwoman Wilhelm was going through her stuff, kind of said something about, I would approve, you know, item C, or my thought is item C, or whatever it was she said. And then there really was no other discussion. It was kind of brought up that, oh, that's just the way we're going to go. I guess I would prefer to have to direct staff to do an actual presentation with the information in writing to the Common Council with the pros and cons of each one of those items, A, B, and C, and do a presentation probably at the February or probably March or April Committee of the Whole, so that we can understand the pros and cons of each one of those things, instead of just going off of somebody's thought that that's what she would approve. I personally did not really get an understanding of the discussion of all three of those items.
So, Alderwoman, is your motion to table until the Committee of the Whole in March to allow for a presentation from staff on the benefits and issues with the three options for item one?
That's what I would.
Is there support for that motion?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Any discussion? My only issue is I want to keep this moving. Alderman Liberta, I've demoted you.
Only a point of information that the March Committee of the Whole is where your consultant on the class of compensation studies will come in to do two things that are required by the contract, which is an educational purpose on the structure of pay plans and the pay philosophy. So they educate and they get feedback to do so. To do both of those in one meeting on their part is probably a minimum.
That's all right. That's short term for us. Alderwoman Evans.
Yeah, considering last night, I sure would like to have a committee of the whole only with this.
We can schedule a special meeting.
Well, can't we just move it to the April?
I'd still like to keep it moving because things have a tendency to die.
Well, not if we put a date on it. If it's April, then it's...
Your motion?
April 1st or April, whatever that winds up being.
Is that okay by the...
Yes.
Any other discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Yes. Let's move to licenses and vouchers. Item H.
Licensing committee would like to make the following recommendations. Class B combination new reserve license for the Hudson Burger LLC. Approved subject to compliance with all municipal codes. Then the following operator licenses new. Sherry Gadecki approved with a letter. Operator new, Michael Anders approved, Virginia Bennett approved, Dawn Bennick approved, Jennifer Costello approved, Kayla Fleury hold for appearance, Harbon Kaur approved, Lisa Krieger approved, Margaret Mooney approved, Laura Rogers approved, Jennifer Schrank approved. Continue on with operator new, Patricia Schultz approved, Monica Zerba approved, Barbara Warren, deny. Operator New, Denise.
Wait.
Pardon me.
Deny based on felony.
Based on?
Felony.
Can we say felony record? Okay. Denise.
Yes.
Okay, felony record. Denise Wadensky, approved. Deanna Zettel, approved. Temporary Class B beer license for St. Martin of Tours Parish School Spaghetti Dinner, approved. And combination Class A change of agent for Quick Trip, approved.
I'll second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Let's just do in vouchers first. So the only person who's going to leave is Sandy. Item I-1, is there a motion approving the net journal checking account city vouchers and ranges of 155210 through 155368 in the amount of $1,132,205.86 dated January 21st and through February?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion to approve passes 6-0. Is there a motion approving net payroll dated January 23rd, the amount of $365,660.76, the payment of various payroll deductions in the amount of $367,248.54, plus any matching payments?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman
Wilhelm. Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
The vote is 6-0. Motion is approved. Is there a motion approving the net payroll dated February 6th, estimated at $382,000, and payments of the various payroll deductions estimated at $230,000 plus any city matching payments?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Vote is 6-0. Motion passes. Is there a motion approving the property tax refunds ranges 14710 through 14791 in the total amount of $28,499.96 dated January 16th through January 29th?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Motion carried 6-0. Item G8, is there a motion to enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes 19.85 sub 1 sub E for market competition and bargaining reasons to deliberate and consider terms relating to the potential acquisition and development of property within the city for future business park development, future retail development, and future mixed use business, light industrial, commercial, residential, nature conservancy, and all-inclusive playground, public park development, service product, and potential investment proposals for such purposes, and the investing of public funds and governmental actions in relation thereto and to affect such development, including service, product, and potential investment contract terms and provisions, and including the terms and provisions potential development agreements for development of property within tax incremental district for future business park development, future retail development, and future mixed-use business, light industrial, commercial, residential, nature, conservation, and all-inclusive playground, public park development, and to re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters as discussed herein as is deemed appropriate.
So moved.
Second.
Madam, Mr. City Attorney.
Mr. Mayor, only to note for the record that the potential development areas involve numerous contractual matters and the like, not only involving private parties as well as multi-level intergovernmental agencies and entities, but also matters which are interrelated amongst those parties, making the negotiation and bargaining of those development needs the basis for and the parameters for and the need for a closed session under Section 19.85 9.85 sub 1 sub E of the Wisconsin statutes. As is general practice in matters of importance, I did discuss the application of the open meetings law with counsel for the League of Wisconsin Municipalities before the agenda was published, and he concurred in the propriety of the need for a closed session on these matters.
Thank you, Mr. City Attorney. There's a motion on the floor. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman D'Andrea?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Aye.
Vote is 6-0. We are in closed session. Can